Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Thousands of people flocked to the Black Hills for the 4th of July fireworks as cities across the nation are balancing reopening strategies with public health recommendations. We check in with cities across South Dakota. Sioux Falls Mayor Paul Tenhagen is with us tomorrow. Rapid City Mayor Steve Allender is asking the public to wear masks, especially in crowded places where distancing cannot be controlled. Mayor Steve Allender joins us today. Mayor Allender, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's a really challenging time to be in leadership and public service as the facts and the data continue to change and we continue to learn more about the virus. Take me back, 100 days or so when this pandemic first started and we started seeing our first confirmed cases in the state. What do you wish you knew back then that you know now about how things are going to unfold?
Well, that's a big question. I wish we could have had more time, frankly, watching other countries as this developed in China. I wish it would have spread at a slower rate so that we could have learned more about the virus as a nation, as a medical community, because the early decisions in mitigating the virus were made on some international data that was really extreme in some cases when you're watching in the rural areas of Italy and Spain and China and then Iran. And then now we see some early cases in Washington State. And so we have to make some policy decisions based on that early data. And it was really was one of the pieces of the puzzle on how to confuse everyone in 2020. Immediately this became a political debate. There was a lot of room for judgment and disagreement. So I wish there could have been more knowledge of the virus behavior. Of course, I think that looking back, it was impossible, but that's what I wish anyway, that we could have made some better informed decisions back then.
Yeah. You mentioned sort of the politics of this, and you've also been talking about how people really should wear masks, and somehow masks have become, almost a political litmus test in one way or another. So putting politics aside, why do masks matter for people visiting Rapid City, for people who live there? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, a mask or a face covering is essential in an environment where you can't control the distance between yourself and others. And I would say that is the shopping center, the airport, places where you may be having to walk directly behind someone who's coughing. So the key is I think everyone has to wear them for it to be effective, because these are not medical grade masks to filter out virus particles before they get into your lungs. These are face coverings basically that will catch some of the respiratory droplets when they come from your mouth and nose so that it doesn't get into someone else's airspace. So I think it is it's a bit of a common courtesy, but I think it's also an important mitigation factor. There's been no evidence to the contrary that masks are harmful or do absolutely no good. We have to trust somebody. When politics comes, then you know what side you're on. But this is a medical issue, and we should be trusting the medical community who are advising us that, masks in indoor or crowded places are essential.
There was a time when there were very few cases in Pennington County, almost to the point where people were wondering if there were more cases and just not enough testing, or what was going to happen, kind of holding their breath to find out what the future would be what the future would hold. And I'm wondering how you see the situation now that it's more like, yes, this is a part of our lives. Yes, we have to figure out what to do about job loss and the loss of lives from a virus. How are you making some of these decisions about what to mandate, what to ask for, what to suggest, what's a non-starter, what we absolutely must do? Can you give me that sort of big picture when you're sitting and really, if you get any just thinking time, how are you making some of those decisions with your team?
Well, starting out very early in the life of the pandemic, in South Dakota, Rapid City was the first city to impose public health regulations, and we were the last city to remove them. And, there's lots of opportunity. In fact, I said that early on, there'll be plenty of time for finger pointing after this is over, and that certainly is true. We went early. We imposed early. It was based largely on fear, on partially accurate information, but it was necessary. And after just a month of that, given the stress of the pandemic and the job loss and the economic downturn, the political arguments, all of these things really go toward demoralizing the people. And at some point, it became evident that little sentence in the Declaration of Independence that talks about we get the authority to govern from the people, only from the people that we're governing, and no more. That's really become evident. So we sensed widespread fatigue, and I think stress is another word for that, but widespread fatigue from all of the things happening at the time, including government regulations. There's no doubt you put a mask on for the first time and it's hot and you're in a crowded place and you're worried about staying 6 feet away and got all these things on your mind, you can set off a good dose of anxiety. And that all, regardless of the source, what it all spelled was the people were slowly giving up their faith or their permission for the government to control those aspects of their life. So we rescinded the laws, the regulations, and we turned them into recommendations. Now, there's going to be lots of time to criticize that. Some states are now going backwards and reimposing safety measures. I don't know if that's going to happen here in South Dakota or Pennington County. I think we're probably on track to have the longest duration peak of anyone. You know, it's been very slow and steady, a slow and steady ascent to what is going to be our peak. But I think you're going to have to stand back from the chart quite a ways to see exactly when our peak was, because it's so gradual. That's the difference, I think, between us and Florida or New York or New Jersey.
Yeah. Let's talk about this idea of the consent of a people to be governed, because that was central to Governor Noem's remarks and President Trump's remarks on the 4th of July, this idea that the founding fathers, fundamental American notion that the rights are endowed by a creator and that people consent to be governed by people in charge. Mm-hmm. And I have two questions about that, and one is going to clearly be, we'll get to in a minute, which is the impact of the crowd and the way that the crowd was set up without masks, for example. But in the when we get back to this idea of consent, people were, exhausted from government restrictions. They're also going to be exhausted from a death toll. They want to be safe. They want to go somewhere and feel like they are safe. Is there a third option? And specifically, I'm wondering about community screening and just the original, back 100 days ago when we were talking about comprehensive testing and, randomized testing. And are there ways to set up a community where there is enough testing and antibody testing and contact tracing to sort of say, this is what we know about the virus in this community. Have we gotten there yet? Is there a third option that we could be looking at that has to do with fundamental, rigorous community screening?
Well, I certainly wish there was. I think the fact of the matter, we don't have anywhere near the appropriate volume of test supplies or capacity to even experiment with one community in America to find out exactly what's going on out there in all age groups. This is mass testing is largely a theory. And when you get your daily tests back and 30% of all your tests are positive, that's evidence that you're testing only symptomatic people and, you know, that there's no real regard for accurate tracking of the virus. So that's one of the most disappointing things looking back in the early stages of the pandemic. You know, our generation's having to endure a pandemic. This is a big deal. And immediately we were informed that there is a national supply shortage for testing materials and testing capacity. That is a huge letdown. And that remains today. Although our testing capacity is greater today, I don't think our testing supplies are much greater. Sturgis just announced a plan to do mass testing following the Sturgis motorcycle rally. What they mean by that is they're going to do an additional 1,300 tests in Sturgis after the rally is over. 1,300. To me, that's not necessarily mass testing. That is a larger testing sample than normal, but we don't have mass testing in this country, and it doesn't appear that we're ever going to have.
Disappointing. Go ahead. What was that?
It's concerning and disappointing that we're in that position.
Are you hearing that frustration from your constituents at all, the frustration that we shouldn't feel like we have to choose between going to work and getting sick, and that testing is still something they want in a much more robust way?
Oh, absolutely. That's probably been the first consistent complaint from citizens, and it remains today. Now, some of the expectations are outrageous, such as they want a test a week for every person in America, regardless of symptoms. Certainly, we can't have 330 million tests weekly, but you know, for the most part, they're very reasonable concerns. And so for me, it spells two things. That it articulates the actual situation where we have less testing than desired, but also it articulates a lack of confidence or communication or both in public health officials. And so without confidence, people don't act rationally. They will go into survival mode, and they will do and say things based on that fear. So we've seen a lot of that over the last several months.
Let's talk about the 4th of July gathering, because there were very few masks that were worn, although we were told they were available, and there was a big crowd, many of them from other states. What do you think happens next in Rapid City? Is it a wait-and-see approach? Do you sort of see the impact on the economy, that get a little boost from sales tax numbers? Or, you know, how do you kind of look at that event and then look at the next 2 weeks and say, okay, what's the impact?
Well, within 2 weeks, I'll be able to tell you if there was a local impact or not. One of the things we do not have the capacity for, or the ability or willingness for, is to report out-of-state positive tests from your community. So any visitors that we had here in South Dakota who were tested and perhaps test positive, our citizens and our government officials throughout the state will never know these numbers because they're reported on the county of residence rather than where the test occurred. So we'll have to rely on simply the number of local individuals who may have become ill and tested positive. So in a couple of weeks, we should have all the data in from 4th of July. Then we'll be in the middle of the motorcycle rally, and a couple weeks after that, then we'll know. So this is absolutely a wait-and-see scenario. To give the event the benefit of the doubt, it was an outdoor event, the people there had a choice to wear a mask or not. Of course, it was 90-plus degrees out, and anyone who's worn a mask knows that it's going to be very uncomfortable. And so we had a bunch of grown adults making informed decisions about what to do. And the question is, who will pay for that? Will it just be those users, those individuals who made that decision, or will it be our hospital systems and the other potentially innocent victims who are needing care and can't get it? That's been the real concern from the beginning, is protecting our hospital capacity. And frankly, at this point, it does not appear that our hospital capacity is at risk. Of course, we can't predict what's going to happen in a couple of weeks or a couple months either.
Right.
So if what I said and what I've been saying sounds like making a lot of guesses and learning as we go, that's exactly what's happening.
Mayor Steve Allender, I keep saying throughout this pandemic, this would be so fascinating if we were reading it in a history book instead of living our way through it. So thank you for coming back.
It will be.
Someday, we'll say. So thank you for today, and we hope to talk to you again in the future. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.